opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app now on iHeartRadio and tune in as well. Of course, YouTube at the Team 980. We stream the entire show. Clinton Yates with us now. Clinton, something must have happened if you're with us on a Monday. What is the news?
Well, you know, there's news. And what's funny is that it's actually from the baseball diamond, which is pretty interesting because everybody knows the All-Star game is coming up next week. There's good news from the Nationals in that James Wood is obviously going to be there.
Yep.
And in the home run derby along with others. But I do also like the decision that has been made by the owners, I must admit.
Yeah, so let's talk about that part because, well, it would be nice to just wax poetic about James Wood. Maybe we do that next week after he blasts home runs in the All-Star game or in the home run derby. But the Nationals, obviously, as folks know by now, have fired Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez. You just said you like the move, so go ahead and let's explain why.
Well, there's a sort of a long preamble to this that I'm not going to super get into, but what it comes down to is the fact that Rizzo represented when this club got serious about baseball. He was there after Bowden was stepped down as a result of some shenanigans that were happening in the DR. And basically, he came from the Diamondbacks, and he was the first sort of guy that was like, listen, I know how to run a franchise. The problem is that in the time since, this franchise has gone into the doldrums with him because drafting has been difficult and operating on a shoestring budget, proverbially, he was doing pretty well with what he had. Two straight draft picks, all of this to say in terms of Stott and Harper, things were good. There was a time when you could visualize the situation in which this was going to make sense. Then Strasburg gets hurt after they win the World Series. Then the pandemic happens. And it ultimately all just kind of came crashing down as an indication of if your owner isn't really, truly in it to win it, your franchise will fall apart even with a good fan base.
Yeah, I mean, the one of the interesting things about the Nationals timeline is they win the World Series and then they have basically a mandate from ownership to tear apart that team. But also, a lot of that team would, like, if had they kept it together and they play like they play in other places, like, I don't know how good that team actually is. Obviously, Rendon has basically never been heard from positively again. Scherzer still had a little bit more left in the tank, but it wasn't like he was long in the tooth in terms of success at that point. There's only a couple more years maybe in him. And on down the list, you know, Trey Turner obviously is still consistently been a good player. But I think they would have had to continue to invest, and it clearly that wasn't the that wasn't the plan. But you also have teams like the Rays. I mean, the Dodgers do it differently because they both are super locked into the details and spend like nobody's business. So they get to win from both ends. But I guess the question I would have if I'm Mike Rizzo, right, is like, is this fair to me, or was I totally set up to fail and now 6 years later I've just failed? Like, or is this on him for not evolving with the game as the game has evolved?
And here's the thing, Gregory, is that from a literal nuance standpoint, I don't know that anybody truly failed here unless you're going to consider the learners the failures. Did Mike Rizzo do a great job? Not necessarily. Was Mike Rizzo at the helm when they won a World Series? Yes. Like, those things all happened. And so I think it's a little easy to hyper-generalize. I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm saying the average baseball fan does do that, and I understand why. Because, look, if you see stars and you see success, this idea of, oh, we could have kept them together is much more difficult of a task in baseball than it is any of the other four major sports by a lot, and that includes the National Basketball Association, who is dealing with this problem right now regarding the CBA. That's a personal opinion. So for me, Strasburg was already a done deal in terms of he was going to go and we were going to pay him, as in the city was going to pay him as the fan base collectively for what he had done. Never mind the fact that the team was the one actually providing the paycheck. Number two, easy to forget also, Bryce Harper left the Dagon team before they won that World Series. So that is out as a personality in terms of what people thought that they could have kept. And all the other guys that sort of came and went, you know, that were big names in the major leagues, those were way station kind of pickups, and they had served their purpose. I think it's okay to Nationals fans to say, hey, look, this is the official end of whatever you thought 2019 meant to you, and that's fine. Some franchises get caught up way too much in trying to constantly have a string of that championship team still through, and they can never truly move on. Chicago Cubs, I'm looking at you. I'm actually happy that the Nationals said, listen, with a contract option coming up in Davey Martinez's, situation, we're not going to have another lame duck coach for the rest of the summer. And the draft is coming up. Time to cut the cord. Made sense to me.
Yeah, and Rizzo obviously had the same contract option for 2026. Clint Yates with us here on the Hoffman Show. The other guy that we haven't mentioned that is fairly significant and is a complex figure in all of this is Soto, because he was phenomenal for that World Series team and was super young. And it's like, ah, yes, look how good we're going to be for the next decade with this guy as our best player.
Right.
And then the learners, like Rizzo and the learners both knew there's no way they were going to win the bidding war there. And so Rizzo makes what is kind of his last greatest move, where he acquires all these dudes who are now all-stars, or in CJ Abrams' case, just barely missed all-star this year, but was last year in the trade for Soto. And I guess the question is, like, if you're a Nationals fan, one, is it reasonable to expect the learners to eventually, if whoever the new GM can build some semblance of a winner, for the Nationals to spend again at a real level that puts them in play, even to keep a guy like Mackenzie Gore, who's another Boris client, who is actually at the same point now in his MLB service as Soto was when he was traded, to be able to keep guys like that? And either way, like yes or no on the flow chart, can they compete without being that, or, you know, with being that?
I was flying a plane the other day, and somebody asked me in the AMA, what are the Nationals away from winning another World Series title? And I replied, they are an owner who genuinely likes baseball away from another World Series. So to answer your question, no, I don't think the learners are going to spend, because that's just not how the learners operate. And so at some point, you have to face that inevitability. It's not just a matter of market forces with Masson or whatever's going on with a once-in-a-lifetime guy that's going to garner $500 million. There is a general vibe around who that franchise is and what they do. And ever since the big man passed, it just hasn't really been the same as far as what they're doing from an ownership standpoint. And again, I don't blame them for this. The Nationals are the prototypical example of what happens when a Major League Baseball team goes wrong because the owner just plain doesn't like baseball enough. And that, to me, is what is most sad about this, if you look at it from a national perspective as well. People liked this team. People respected the franchise. They beat the Astros in the World Series when the Astros were still cheating. And then it fell apart. And that's what's kind of sad about all this. I think that the Nationals fans deserve better, and I think there's an addition through subtraction thing here that hopefully ends honestly with, forget about a GM, forget about a manager, how about it ends with the sale of a baseball team?
Well, that's obviously still floating out there. They've said that they weren't. But like you, when you talk to people around baseball, and Clint Yates with us again, ESPN, ESPN Radio, the show Clinton and Friends Mornings, which you can catch on the ESPN app. Like, you're at ballparks all the time. You talk to people all the time. People know where you're from. They know you're from here. They know your D.C. ties. So, like, is there just a shift in tone since Ted Lerner passed and really since Ted gave control to Mark Lerner, who's now running the team?
Well, I would say that it was more so the idea that if anything was ever going to change, it was going to have to be him who did it, not his progeny or second generations. And that's what's sort of unfortunate about it is that there's plenty of assets there. As far as the park, the neighborhood, to some degree, the roster flexibility or what have you, and the talent, to another degree, the intensity of the fan base, which is not crazy. It's not Philly. It's not Queens. I'm not going nuts here. But there was something there. There's a kernel of love that has a World Series ring to go with it. And people who are well alive still remember it. And that's where I think that it becomes really difficult because you think to yourself, whoever the next person is to buy this, if there is another buyer in the next 5 years, why are they buying it? And this is where the conversation about a certain other individual named Theodore comes into play as well, which is, are you going to let this team go to just another individual who wants to make this part of their larger portfolio? Or is it possible that an actual baseball fan with a ton of cash gets behind the nation's Capitals team? You got to look far and wide for that. And I don't know how easy that is. I don't know how many of those people even exist. They don't already own baseball teams, and that's kind of the tough part.
Well, yeah, but also, I mean, we've seen with the Mets, like, it's highly volatile if the owner is too involved. Like, the best thing you can do is be rich and hire smart people. Like, that's kind of the Dodgers approach, you know? Is like, yeah, they like baseball, but, like, he also just bought the Lakers, and it's they've hired ridiculously smart people and said, you tell us what you need, we will sign the checks. Like, I think, like, you have to like baseball enough, and you have to like winning enough to invest, but it's not like you have to be you with billions of dollars, you know?
Remember the last person that I mentioned? My point is that you've got to like the sport of your team more than you like yourself being in headlines and more than you like saving money. That's the equation there. It's not just about meddling, not remotely. It's about the fact that if you do care about the sport and you do care about your team, the message you laid out as a operation to get towards success is obvious. The problem is if you look in the mirror and that person is more important than the nine guys that are on the field anytime.
Yeah, and we'll see. But if you're let's say though the learners are really committed to the like they're committed to not selling the team, which I'm going to differentiate from committed to the team, right? If you are another general, like if you're working in the Dodgers front office and you're the assistant GM or whoever the VP of blah blah blah, or you're working in the Rays front office, like one of the pick somewhere else that's good at this. Would you be willing to leave and give it a shot with the Nationals, or what would it take for, you know, you probably take the interview, right? To get your name in the headlines because that your agent's being like, yeah, you're going to take the interview. But what would it take for you to actually take the job?
That's an excellent question. And I'm glad you brought up the Dodgers before that because you see teams now where is being the GM of a big league club necessarily the best particular job for really anybody at any given moment. If you don't have those kind of resources, people are in front offices and scouting offices and analytics all over the shop now. These things have grown in numbers from the low dozens to the hundreds in some kind of scenarios all the way up and down, you know, a major league organization down to the minors. And so I just think it's going to take a special blend. This is somewhere where you maybe lean on somebody who themselves cares about the Nationals for regional or local or personal reasons. Now, don't get me wrong. Big league jobs are big league jobs. And when Mike Rizzo first came over from Arizona, not necessarily everybody was super familiar with it. So this can work. What I'm saying, though, is that in a market in which actual successful teams are paying actual dollars to just bankroll guys and put them basically on their bench, the same way that, I don't know, old college football teams used to have guys that could have won the Heisman on third string because there just wasn't that kind of equity in the game. This is closer to where we're getting with Major League Baseball, in my opinion. Team decisions with team philosophies way more so than one guy with a wizard wand waving it around on a baseball field trying to determine who's going to be the next, you know, star of the game.
obviously the GM hire is the most important in the long term, and we'll see when that happens. Mike DiBartolo named the interim. Miguel Cairo, the interim manager today. Like, do you have any strong thoughts on the manager relationship, whether that's on Cairo and what he could be in the interim, or kind of how that works long term with the eventual new GM?
Not particularly in terms of the individuals involved. That's always a tough spot, something Nationals fans know well. But I will tell you this, Craig. It does give me some sort of an indication as to what the process is there. You were willing to bang your GM and have an interim ready. Okay, but you were willing to bang your GM and your manager, and it took you a day to do so? Like, that to me was a little weird. It showed to me that for whatever reason, they were, I don't want to say fed up, but they were clear about their decision when literally the guy that runs the team on the day-to-day basis was not named immediately after the hire. You don't need a day in between those two things for the sake of posterity and respecting Davey Martinez. God bless him. You could have done that in the first thing if you actually knew who it was. They didn't, and they were that ready to move on. That, to me, is fascinating as who the characters are themselves.
Yeah, I'm curious what that process looked like. Did, you know, they go to DiBartolo and be like, hey, who do you think it should be? And then they have a discussion. Or,
right.
You know, well, hopefully, eventually, we'll find out more. Clint Yates, you can catch him on ESPN Radio. Clinton and Friends is the show. Also, read his work at ESPN.com and Anscape. Yates, appreciate you, sir. Thank you for doing a Monday deal on some breaking baseball news with us.
No problem. Got to give my cousin Mark, whom you know, a shout out. Appreciate you listening.
Shout out to Mark. All right. Thank you. Goodbye.
Hey, brother.
Thanks, dude. That's Clint Yates with us here on The Hoffman Show. And actually just saw a little bit more on the Cairo piece of this. They were actually waiting on him. So Miguel Cairo was offered the job around the same time that DiBartolo was, but he ultimately decided to delay and wait. So that is that was the full story there. I literally just saw that as typing stuff up as Clint and I were talking. So when we get back, tell you what, we'll have a very short segment. We can get a couple of highlights from Anthony's vacation because we know you've been waiting on it all show. Then at 6:30, Jeff Passan was on Grant and Danny earlier today. Must listen interview. We've got the best of it to play for you, some bites and some reaction to that coming up here on a very baseball heavy edition of The Hoffman Show. But first, the latest from the world of women's sports presented to you by Wawa Chicken How You Wanna at Wawa with customizable roasted and crispy chicken sandwiches.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, wherever it is that you're listening or where you want to listen. We're just everywhere. We got you covered. Thanks again to Clinton Yates, Chelsea James, Robert Flores for joining us so far. Awesome interview from Grant and Danny with Jeff Passan earlier today. We'll get you some of the best of that interview at 6:30. But Anthony, you went on a European vacation. You were Antoine in France. You were Antonio in Spain. You've now returned Anthony in the United States. How was your trip, my friend?
I had a fantastic time on my sort of kind of world tour.
Yeah. Your two-country European tour?
Yes. It was about 8 days too short. It flew by really fast. I'll give you a highlight in each.
I was going to say, what was your favorite thing in France? Your favorite thing on Paris? You did go to Disney World, and you really love Disney World.
Disneyland was a lot of fun.
Or Disneyland, Paris. Outside of Disneyland, what was your favorite thing in Paris?
Can I give the most basic answer, like, in the world?
Sure.
The Eiffel Tower sparkling at night was actually crazy.
It is pretty wild to see in person. There's something about, like, when you've seen things on television, and they're super-duper famous, and then you're just like, oh, it's right there.
Yeah.
Like, it becoming real is pretty crazy.
Yeah. It was a beautiful sight to see. It only sparkled for 5 minutes on the hour.
Yeah.
It's something that I learned because from my hotel room, I had a view of the Eiffel Tower, and I missed it every single time. I never saw it until my last night in Paris, and I got down there early. I was down there for, like, 45 minutes waiting. To like see the Eiffel Tower sparkle, and then I got a cameraman down there, you know, to, you know,
you had
capture
a cameraman
the moment
in Paris.
Yeah, well, no, he was. So they have camera people like down. At the Eiffel Tower, and I had him just capture the moment, and he gave me all my pictures for like $20, and I was like,
that's a cool bit.
Great moment to, you know, have in my life. So I really like that moment. I think from a food standpoint, I had a crepe. And it might have been the greatest crepe I've ever had in my life. It was Nutella. I got red fruit. And ironically, they gave me a whole bunch of strawberries and only one raspberry. But I wasn't complaining. They gave me light cream. And then, what was the last thing I had? It was one more thing, but it was really good. It was a
probably honey?
Probably.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
That sounds amazing. I'm now so hungry.
Yeah.
All right, what was your favorite thing in Barcelona?
And in Barcelona, so I did a bike tour. And to be honest, Craig, I had a nice fit on. And I was like, I think I might be hot and like sweaty like doing it. It was so cool. It was so cool like riding around the city. I did end up taking a shirt off. You know, I had the tank top on. So I was able to keep that on, take it off. But riding around and basically learning about Barcelona was really cool. I didn't know anything about the Sagrada La Familia. Am I saying that correctly?
I don't know. It sounds is that you were so confident, and I was like, we're just gonna roll with it.
I had no idea about it, and our tour guide was basically like, because we had got to this huge like cathedral, and I'm like, is this what you guys were talking about? And they was like, no. When you see it, oh, you'll see it.
Yeah, the Basilica, La Sagrada Familia.
Yes. So when I finally saw it, I was like, oh, snap. Now I understand what you guys are talking about. Like, when I saw it, I saw it. So that was my favorite thing that I saw on the bike tour. But the bike tour itself was pretty cool. And then I had some bravas from a food standpoint that were really good. And they were spicy potatoes.
Yeah. The Las Patatas Bravas.
Yes.
That's awesome, man.
And then I bought Craig.
Yeah, did get me a little
souvenir.
A little souvenir for our fridge.
Yes, sir.
So I have to hang that up.
They've been there.
I have not been there.
Oh, Rachel's only been there.
Has been to Barcelona. I have not been to Barcelona.
Okay.
We thought about going, because we're going to Portugal in September.
That's fun.
And I don't know, like we thought about making, like going to Spain first and then going to Barcelona, or then going to Portugal. But it was like, we haven't been to Portugal either. So we might as well just go to Lisbon for a couple days, or Porto. No, I think we're going to Lisbon. And then we have a wedding. So we'll have to figure out those details. But yeah. We're just going to go to Portugal, and I'm pretty pumped about it.
Could you do a day trip?
It's a little far for a day trip.
Ah, okay.
Because the
I
problem
don't know how
is
far they are.
The problem is Barcelona is Barcelona is on the France side of Spain, not on the Portugal side of Spain.
Ah, okay.
And as far as European countries go, Spain's pretty big.
Yeah.
So I thought it was going to be like a 2-hour train ride. And I was like, sure, we could do that. And it's like, no, it's like a 5 or 6 hour train ride. And I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, never mind.
That's a no for me, dog.
That's too much time.
Yeah. All right. When we get back, we'll perhaps do more story time with Anthony over the course of the week. Up next, though, Jeff Passan on why Mike Rizzo and Davey Johnson David Martinez are no longer employed by the Washington Nationals. It's Off Bench Show. We're on the team 980 live as well on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio. You can watch us on YouTube at the Team 980. You can all the same places, just on 106.7 The Fan. You can catch Grant and Danny 2 to 6:30. Anthony, I should lie. That show's only 2 to 4, and then nothing happens on 106.7 The Fan between 4 and 7 o'clock. You just tune over here, and then we're here. But that wouldn't be fair to Chris Russell. So GND do a great job from 2 to 6:30, and they had the man who broke this national story, Jeff Passan, on today from ESPN. And he was asked about a bunch of different stuff. It was a really great interview. It's worth listening to the whole thing. But let's get you a couple of the most important bites first. First, G&D asking Passan on where ownership stands on all of this. They obviously are taking a lot of blame for the losses. But how did we get here, and where do we go from here on the learner side of things?
That is a great question, and I think it's one that Mark Lerner, frankly, owes the fans an explanation on. I think that if he wants people to continue coming out to Nationals Park and to believing in this team and what the future looks like, there needs to be a little bit more transparency in this situation, especially before you go out and hire a full-time person. Maybe that's Mike DiBartolo. Maybe it's somebody from the outside, but what I do know is that the Nationals, just in their approach to baseball operations, have differed from other franchises. They have leaned less on the analytics side of things, and I think it's fair to wonder just how much of an overhaul is Mark Lerner willing to fund. And I say fund both in the respect of, does he want to bring in, a higher profile general manager or somebody who's got experience and might cost a little bit more? Or does he want to bring in somebody who has that analytics background and is intending on taking the Nationals at very least up to the baseline of where other organizations are right now? Because I don't think they're there at this point, or at very least, they have not applied the information in the same way that other organizations do.
So that is on some level the crux of the next step for the Nationals, right? It's, have they applied the information they have well? And I think a lot of people around baseball, and listening to some of the reaction today, well, there's a lot of respect for Mike Rizzo, would say no. Like, he is an old school type of guy who relies more on his gut and his feeling and his eyes and, you know, scouting stuff, and a lot of the same people that have been in place for a long time versus, let me learn how to implement and use some of this data. And so while Mike Rizzo was a really valuable asset to this organization for a long time, did a tremendous job, and probably could still do a very good job, he can't do the maximal job. With that said, you also need to pay to get some of this stuff in place. You need to pay for good people to interpret the data. But I think that's, if I'm Mark Lerner, I want to understand how much of what we have already is good? And then what do I need to add to that? Who can get the most out of what we have? But I think the other part is like, have they actually done enough? Can anybody have won here over the last 6 years? And that's another question that G&D put forth to Jeff Passan.
Most of all, like, do you want to win? I think that's a reasonable question for somebody to ask him at this point, because what have the Nationals, in terms of their budget and their payroll, shown fans over the last 5 years, other than, I'm not going to say a disinclination to go out and win, but sorry, when you're a team in Washington, D.C., and your highest paid player is retired, and your second highest paid player is a Toronto Blue Jay, what are you trying to do here? Like, are you really expecting this leap forward when, you know, a lot of the guys who you're expecting it from are coming from within the farm system, and players often take, as we saw with James Wood, a year to get their sea legs under them and to figure out how to be a productive player at the big league level. And right now, the Nats have three of those. James Wood, DJ Abrams, and Mackenzie Gore, all of whom happen to have come over in the Juan Soto trade, which I'm not going to say it saved this franchise, but it pretty much saved this franchise from becoming like an ignominious level team of the ilk with the White Sox and the Rockies.
Pop quiz, Anthony. What's ignominious mean?
Ignominious. Can I get a language of origin?
Maybe. They don't have language of origins on a word history. Maybe they do. It was first used in the 15th century.
Okay.
I don't know from where it was first used, but it was first used in the 15th century.
Yeah, so I was trying to, use context clues, and I'm struggling right now. So if you give me an assist.
Ignominious. Humiliating or degrading.
Okay.
Deserving of shame or infamy. Despicable. Marked with or characterized by disgrace or shame. Dishonorable.
Good gracious.
So they are Rizzo making a good Juan Soto trade away from being a quote-unquote dishonorable, well, I guess ignominious, but putting in the synonym, dishonorable franchise, according to Jeff Passan.
Man, that's brutal.
My challenge to everyone listening right now is between now and this time tomorrow, you are to use ignominious in a sentence.
Can you not spell it?
Sure, because...
Don't look now.
I already put it away. So ignominious. 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 Dang it. I was wrong. It's Ignominious.
Ooh.
Ignominious.
We need to do a spelling. We're supposed to do a spelling bee, and I don't think we ever did. We need Rachel to help us.
We're also supposed to do some ice baths or some stuff that we're going to have to do.
Yeah, we got
to
catch it. Hey, this is a good time of the year to do it, though.
If people would stop making news and make us having to do our own stuff a lot easier. Last but not least, lack of draft success. How much did that have to do with Rizzo's firing?
Were they really bad at drafting and developing under Mike Rizzo to the point that blowing him out makes sense? Or is there a larger problem here that makes that almost insignificant with ownership?
I think it's more the latter than the former, but the former really brings light to it all, right? Like, if they drafted and developed better than they have, then I don't think we're spending as much time talking about the financial element of things. It's the Milwaukee Brewers corollary, the Cleveland Guardians corollary. Like, if you succeed, it papers over a lot of those warts. Like, you just don't care about them quite as much because, hey, we're winning still. And maybe not winning to the extent that they could, should, in the eyes of the fans need to, but hey, at least they still have a winning culture there. That has not been the case with the Nationals at this point. And I think it absolutely begins with what sort of resources are given to the people who are running the baseball operations department. And when it comes to resources, the Nationals have lagged behind for years, and they don't seem particularly inclined to change that at this point. That goes directly back on ownership.
For more from Jeff Passan with Grant and Danny, check out their podcast wherever you get yours, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the free Odyssey app. When we get back, we wrap up the show here on this Monday.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wrapping up here on the Hoffman Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Tomorrow on the show, everything else that happened this weekend, which I don't even remember, but just everything got wiped. I went to Beyonce Friday night, and then the world restarted Sunday night when Rizzo and Davey got let go. I don't remember anything else that happened in between.
I remember one thing.
What else happened?
The Wizards got Cam Whitmore.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about that. Talk about that. Anthony and I have a field trip day because we're going to the Mystics game. So we might also, I'll see if we can get ourselves an interview after that game. I'm bringing my press pass. Not just go as a fan and hang out and watch some hoops with my guy. So we got that tomorrow. Other than that, I don't know. I don't know. I talk about the Beyonce concert. We didn't get a chance to do that today.
Do you have to record Take Command tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. We also, Logan and I, are doing Take Command. So maybe we'll have an answer to a fun mailbag question. So, hey, we got a couple things. That's encouraging. Because we're getting to the part of the calendar where there ain't a lot going on. So we got that. Wizards named their Summer League roster. So we'll see what's going on with that. Maybe we see if we got getting someone on about all that from a coaching side of things. So got a lot of potential stuff to talk about, but we'll see what things we wind up biting off. But we got a million things to play for Real Things. I think we have a week's worth of Real Things in the folder. So let's get to it.
Real Things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real people.
5 and 11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right, we start. Anthony goes, you got to play the Ben Shelton one. Ben Shelton, still alive at Wimbledon, which is nice. It just means that his family is going to need to stay and support him longer, including his sister, who was supposed to go back to work at Morgan Stanley. But bro had to make a call.
It's not just been me here. I have a great team. My parents are here. My girlfriend's here. Also, my...
Real quick, by the way, his girlfriend is Trinity Rodman, the Washington Spirit star. So... Good for Trin. She's pulling off some great, great Wimbledon fits. Wimbledon's a place you got to dress up. Trin has answered the call.
My sister's here. She's been here for every match that I've played at this tournament so far. She's been the lucky charm, but she has work back in the U.S. starting on Monday. She works for Morgan Stanley and... Hey! Come on now. She works for Morgan Stanley, so if any of y'all have some connects and get her a couple extra days off so she can... We can keep this rolling. That'd be great.
They called. She got a couple more days off.
She got the whole week off.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? You got put on blast by a super famous tennis player who's kicking butt. You're gonna be like, hey, no, we need. It's a giant corporation. It ain't like she's running a small business. They can figure out. Like, I'm sure she does important work. I'm not trying to devalue her place in the operation. But the cool thing about big-ass companies is you got other people that can cover. That's work-life balance right there.
That's so dope, dude.
How often is your brother going to win or going to have a chance to win Wimbledon?
Yeah.
I mean, for him, it might be actually a lot of times because he is he's playing quite well and he's still like 22 years old. But
dude, yeah. He had a serve today, 146 miles per hour.
He's he's so much fun to watch.
He got a cannon.
By the way, I don't think he playing City Open? The field, I can't remember if he's in the field. The field for the City Open later this month in D.C., incredible. Incredible field. Like, the best field they've ever had. Pretty excited for that. Speaking of Wimbledon, though, is this the most Wimbledon announcement that's ever happened?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you could avoid opening bottles of champagne when the players are about to serve.
Oh, come on. I love that.
It's warm.
It's the most Wimbledon warning you've ever heard.
When you first heard that, Anthony, and I told you it was Wimbledon, did you think that was a tennis ball getting hit?
I didn't know what it was, to be honest.
Because it sounds like a tennis ball getting hit. Nope, that is champagne being popped.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you could avoid opening bottles of champagne when the players are about to serve.
Oh, come on. I love that.
It's warm. It's the most Wimbledon warning you've ever heard.
The most Wimbledon warning you've ever heard. Just the most Wimbledon warning. Last but not least, I want to play the Paddy Pimblett one, but I don't think we have time. God, that's funny. We'll play that one tomorrow. Nico Hülkenberg. 239 career starts in Formula One, Anthony. Never had a podium.
Wow.
Never finished in the top three. Great driver, always been in mediocre cars. He gets a podium in a rainy British Grand Prix this weekend. And for some silly reason, they decided to make the trophies this weekend out of Legos. So you wait 239 races and you get a Lego trophy. Nico asked about it, not by a member of the press, but by second place finisher, Oscar Piastri.
I also have a question for Nico. How does it feel after 15 years of F1 to get a podium and it's made out of Lego that you can just pull apart?
And what, sorry?
It's just made out of Lego that you can pull apart and probably buy next week.
Yeah. I love Lego. It's good. My daughter can play with it too.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they thought of you. They made it specifically
for you. You always get to see the bright side. But, you know, a bit of silver or gold would have been nice too, but, you know. I won't complain.
Incredible. Incredible. I was very happy for Nico Hülkenberg.
I'm not going to lie. I would not let my daughter play with it, though. Because you...
I could see it both ways. Like, no, 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 no. These Legos are for dad.
If she waited a long time. Takes it apart...
Also, somebody make him a bronze trophy.
Please.
Like, my man's had to drive a Kick Sauber, although they have been awesome the last couple weeks with the floor upgrade. He's driven some bad Haas cars. Like, he's driven a lot of midfield machinery. And he's a good driver, and he's beloved on the grid. Let's get Nico Hülkenberg a real trophy. That's all I'm saying. All right, that's our show. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great evening from all of us at the Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.